Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, the man who is loved by every woman aged 84 to 93. Dave Popowich, how are you, buddy?
Glad to be in that. I'm glad to be in any category, brother.
Those women love you.
I will take whatever I can.
Every client of ours in that age category just wants to talk to you. That's awesome.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'll take what I can get,
yeah,
man.
You get it, man. You do get it.
We've got a good show today. Actually, a really important show because we're going to talk. We're going to talk to Miles Zyblock. We're going to talk a little bit about the year that has been 2018. Because it's been a weird year. In fact, he will make the case that this is a one in a hundred year sort of experience.
Yes, and so Miles is the chief investment strategist for Dynamic Funds. He's been able to make a lot of good calls on asset allocation, concerns about markets. He looks at things in a different way. This is why we have him on the show, and we want to get his take on what the heck happened in 2018.
Yeah, well, where did we start, where did we end, and what happened, right? Because it was different.
And what I like about Miles is how he's going to be talking about what the opportunity is for 2019. In years like this, where you see a lot of differences to the market versus economics.
Right.
When they're not aligned.
Right.
Then there lies opportunity.
Right.
And from the growth guy on the team, I want to show, or at least explain to our listeners, that although this year hasn't been what we expected or wanted, there are some opportunities in 2019, and we'll discuss that.
Yeah. Now, before we get to that, so we'll get Miles' analysis, and then we'll wrap it up with a discussion about all that. What about what about this year?
I heard you posted.
What about this week?
I heard you posted bail for our friend in Huey.
Somebody had to do it.
You just deeped in your pockets and took out your change and paid for that, didn't you?
Somebody had to do it.
There you go.
It didn't help.
The Chinese government thanks you for at least getting bail.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And this is what's funny. Especially here in Canada, that's become the top news story. First of all, a lot of people said, who the heck is Huey? The second was, I never knew that there was an issue. And then to see how this is all turning into from a legal issue to a political issue. And it's taken a lot of the news time on that, especially on those business news stories.
Well, we got dragged into something. I mean, we've got a treaty with the United States. I mean, we got pulled into something here in the middle of a trade war dispute between China and the U.S.
Correct.
That has grown into something well beyond what Canada's done. And it's, there's Canadian companies that are suffering as a result of this.
Yeah, and so you and I were laughing about this because I came in after I heard the retaliation from the Chinese government. They're probably sitting in a room going, those damn Canadians, how dare they? Let's figure out how we can retaliate. Let's boycott. What are we going to boycott? Yeah. Let's boycott those jackets.
That's right.
Canada Goose, we're going to boycott you, and that's going to really hurt that country.
Yep. They haven't figured out that Tim Hortons is Canadian yet, but maybe they will. Manulife, Sun Life.
But it's not in China.
Manulife, Sun Life, all these. There's a lot. We do almost $22 billion worth of export trade.
Thank God they didn't say we're going to stop any Canadian oil coming into our country.
That's right.
Because that would have really hurt us.
That's number four, though. The biggest export Canada has to China is actually wood and pulp.
Correct.
Right?
You'd think they'd go after that.
Yeah.
But instead they went after the jackets because that's just, how dare they.
Well,
we don't want to see Canada. We don't want to see the word Canada on any of our Chinese citizens. And so, that's where all the attention went to. And we missed out on a whole bunch of stuff that happened economically, positive economics. Mm-hmm. We are seeing some sort of a slower growth. And when people hear that, they sometimes think it is a recession.
Right.
Slower growth to me is similar to driving on the Deerfoot at 100 kilometers per hour, then veering off to a secondary road going 80 kilometers per hour.
Right.
You're still moving in a forward direction.
Correct.
Just not as fast as you were.
Right.
Have you ever done that where you've driven off and you kind
it
of
feels you come off the highway and
you
go,
just feel like you're going really slow, like really am I in a playground zone all of a sudden, you're doing 80, it just feels that way.
Yeah,
mainly because you drive 130 in 100 zone. Police, hint hint, nudge nudge, wink wink.
Never.
But the key thing here is people just hear those a slower growth and they think recession or they see it deceleration.
Right.
And that's not the case.
Correct.
You're still moving in a forward motion. So the other part of this, again, we came up with was the inverted yield curve.
So there's been, I don't remember so much conversation around inverted yield curves in the past, right?
Do you know why?
Yeah, why?
Because the 2007-8 crash.
Okay.
So when in 2007, the two-year U.S. government bond was higher than the 10-year, which is what the definition of an inverted yield curve was. Right. It took 12 to about 14 months after before we started seeing the recession
hit. I've gone back further. I would say an inverted yield curve is one of those things that indicates that there's potentially a slowing. You know, if you think about banks having to pay depositors higher than what they're lending at long-term rates, that's a bit of a goofy situation, right? Economically,
they'll stop lending.
It doesn't work, right? So that tends to be tends to forecast, but it can be between 11 and 36 months, right? So people are. But I don't remember the press being as focused, and maybe I just don't remember back to that. But it's interesting that that's taking on a life of its own, and people are saying inverted yield curve, immediate, you know, recession. That is not the case.
Correct. And people have to be educated of
that's
that.
That's right.
Right. So there's that part. I'm hearing a lot of fear in people's viewpoints. And I'll give you a story. I met with an individual who wanted a second opinion. In fact, it was referred by her accountant who works with some of our clients. She received quite a bit of money in her hands and in this year. And it's over $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. And in the last 8 weeks, she's down 4%, mm-hmm. and literally is freaking out.
Yep.
Okay. And 4% or $100,000 is a lot of money, and so I'm not going to discount the fact that she's down. She's called it a loss, so let's use her words, not mine. And she's freaking out.
Yep.
So how do you help somebody in that situation? And I think what was interesting is the accountant set up the meeting where it was four different advisors, one after another, mm-hmm. meeting with her for 40 minutes to an hour. So it was like speed dating, mm-hmm. right? And so we're all sitting there one after the other just to give our perspective. And my perspective was, you don't have to be in the stock market if you don't want to. And you don't have to take on stuff or risk if you're not comfortable with it.
Right.
What I think has happened over the last 10 years is what we call financial repression, where people have been pushed into taking on higher risk because interest rates were so low. Today, we have an interest rate market that might be appealing to some. And in her case, GICs is the right solution for her. Mm-hmm. It's not equity markets. And this is the stock guy talking, right? So I think what people need to do is take a second look at what's happening in the world, what the volatility is, and it's coming back. I predict volatility to continue in the future. And so people need to take a look at their portfolios and their comfort zone and say, is this right for me? And this is going to be a time where people, especially transitioning to or living in retirement, will have to double check, triple check their lifestyle spending versus their risk tolerance. Mm-hmm. Because people who need higher income will require higher growth, more than what GICs can offer, the risk-free rate. Mm-hmm. And that will mean that they might need to take on risk. And if you're not comfortable, now you have a trade-off. And so this is where people have to sit down and have those conversations with their advisors. And if you're not having those conversations with your advisor, or if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you're not having those conversations, reach out to us, because I'm having conversations every day with our listeners, people in the public, about what are their options. And there are a whole bunch.
Yep.
And you just have to be willing to take them.
And clients too, right? This has got check time. You go back, right?
Yep.
So there's been this, the fear has switched from the fear of missing out, which has been the last 3 or 4 years, to the fear of loss.
Yeah. So I, good point. So it's the fear of missing out to the fear of running out.
Right.
Right, that's what's changed.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where people have to have that reset. And today's a reset. Listen to me right now, but Dave, when I'm saying this, it's a reset today. Everything you can do in regards to your financial future is a choice.
Right.
You can choose to do things going forward. Whatever's happened in the past has happened in the past. But as of today, you have a choice of what goes on in the future. And I think today is the time where people need to look at that situation and say, what am I comfortable with? What am I willing to sacrifice or live with? And then go with that and be comfortable, because volatility is going to be here for a while, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's what's happened is volatility's crept back up to more normal ranges, historical ranges. We have just been absent volatility for a long time. And it's the same thing that you said. You come off that highway, right, which has been, it's the Autobahn, and it's perfectly smooth, and you hit the gravel road on the side, and it's a bit bumpier.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're still doing 80 versus.
Right.
So yeah. My point here is I love this type of market.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. This is where I thrive in my career. I just think there's a lot of people who don't have that same sentiment as I do need to have a bit of a check.
It's scary. We're going to talk about this at our upcoming seminar. Let's just remind everybody about that.
Yeah, Tuesday, January 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400, or register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, you interested to know what the market holds for us into the future? Then stick around after the break. We're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.